That's the way it goes.
Come on, drunk.
Yes, welcome to the Game Manx Podcast. This is episode 160, and today is February 5th, 2012, and I'm your host, Brooklyn. This is the official podcast of BrooklynKing.com, the official game podcast of BrooklynKing.com, and joining me is none other than Scatino, a.k.a. Scat.
What up?
Scat coming to you live from Manchester, UK, and I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, USA. So, another week. This is Super Bowl Sunday, so lots of rabid fans all over the country are watching guys run into each other in helmets. Guys in tights run into each other with helmets and get concussions. Yes, this is what we do in the States. So, Super Bowl Sunday, so lots of big commercials this weekend and all that other shit, you know. But we're gonna talk about games and all that good stuff. So, let's just jump right into it. It's been a lot of demos. I guess I could give a quick rundown of what we'll talk about. You know, we've never really done that. I've realized that. Like, we've never, like, ahead of time said what we're gonna cover. So we're gonna cover the Twisted Metal demo, Darkness 2 demo, Resident Evil Revelations for the 3DS, and a lot of games that I think we've revisited during this kind of lull in releases, because there weren't really anything major that got released this month other than Resident Evil Revelations 3DS, which we're gonna cover. So yeah, some interesting stuff. So I like talking about games that we talked about when they first came out, because I feel like it's always interesting to, like, see how we feel about them, like, 6 months later or 3 months later, you know? Because yeah, sometimes you get so hyped for stuff, and then, like, 3 weeks later, you don't even play it anymore. Like, Dark Souls, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a personal note, you know? I'm not trying to say anything about you, Scat. I'm just saying. Yeah, like, stuff like that. And anyway, Battlefield for me too. So, yeah, so let's talk about Twisted Metal demo, because that game is actually coming out on Valentine's Day. So, February 14th, that game drops.
That's in the States.
Oh, okay.
It got delayed in the UK and Europe.
Oh, really? To when?
March, but David Jaffe's come out and said there's going to be quite a few cuts made to the European version. Apparently the game is a bit too violent, so certain, like, cutscenes and that are going to be different over here than there are in the States and everything, which is bullshit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much said in the interview this week, like, you know, Sony Europe weren't too happy with the version that was submitted, so cuts had to be made, and even though it's only for, like, specific countries within Europe that have a lot more stricter laws when it comes to censorship and everything,
mm-hmm,
they thought there's no point releasing all different versions for the different countries within Europe. So,
right, because that's the mess.
So they're just gonna have to make, yeah. So they're just gonna have to cut the whole game to fit, you know, one size fits all, basically. So
yeah,
you know, even though it probably wouldn't have needed changing for the UK gets a censored version. So.
Damn. I always thought it was cool that, like, in Europe, you guys get the versions that have, you know, you get to choose your language and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I always thought that was cool. Like, you get like whenever I boot up a UK version, like I have the UK, I have the European version of MotorStorm Arctic Edge for PSP, and whenever I boot that up, it, I like how it gives you like what language you want. You know, do you want Italian? Do you want Spanish? Do you want English? Do you want French? I always thought that was kind of cool, you know, because I think there's a lot of people in the States that speak other, that speak Spanish, even just Spanish. Like, that's like, there's like 35% of the people here, maybe even 40% speak Spanish. Like, it's a crazy high number, and like, I think here we kind of ignore that, we ignore them, you know. And we're kind of like in that whole like speak English, bitches, you know.
and I guess it's just good to have that choice, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's cool, man. That's something we should learn, you guys, you know, that diversity. But anyway, so yeah, the Twisted Metal demo, played it. What do you think?
I've not played it. Well,
okay, how about this?
Just before,
how about this? Sorry. Have you played it back in the days, like on PS2 or whatever? Or PS... Yeah, right? PS2,
I think I might have played it on the PS1, but I can't really remember it that well.
Okay.
So playing this new version will pretty much be like a whole new experience for me. You know? But honestly, I tried to boot up the game just before the podcast so I could check it out. I jumped into the training mode at first just to like test out the controls. They seemed a bit on the complicated side. And then I tried to jump into an online match, but I couldn't get a game at all. It just kept saying a matchmaking error, so I've not been able to actually test it out.
Yeah, it is pretty complicated. I mean, it's funny because it's not complicated and at the same time complicated. Like, it uses almost every button on the controller. Like, there's accelerate, there's braking, there's like handbrake to do like a, you know, a quick 180 turn, you know, to get somebody behind you. And then you have like the select a weapon button. Then you have the regular firing your guns button, the guns mounted on your car button, and then you have a button for doing a special move, so like a special weapon, like a rocket or whatever. Some cars have flamethrowers, some have rockets, you know, whatever your car's special weapon is. So there's a lot going on with the controls, but I think the controls are great. Like, if it controls pretty damn good in terms of like fast paced, you know, it's like a first person shooter of cars. Like, it's like the car equivalent to the racing equivalent to a FPS, basically, is what I think it is. I think it's unfortunate that it's coming out like literally the same time the Vita's coming out, because there's no way in hell I'm gonna buy that game on release, you know. I'm just not. Like, honestly, I would buy the game just to support David Jaffe, because I think he's one of the few developers that gets it, you know, like the way he communicates with the people, the way he is open about how he feels about things, I think is really something that a lot of other people in the industry can learn. Like, he's really straightforward about how, you know, like, I've watched a lot of his videos about the game, and like, he talks about like why certain features are in and why they're not in, and you know, I think that kind of transparency is cool. And it seems like a great game. Like, I had fun. I was playing online a minute ago, about 10 minutes ago before this show, and it was fun. Like, I was destroying people. I think the online was more fun than the actual, like, arcade mode. The arcade mode was hard. The single player, like, I was just getting blown up, you know? So, online is definitely, like, an online game. And I was having fun. I mean, the graphics aren't all that, you know? It's a job done, but I think just because there's so much going on, but I do remember playing that game with friends on the PlayStation 1. I think one of my friends had it, and we would sit play that shit. Street Fighter was our game. Like, Alpha 2, I think we played that game so much we even recorded matches on a VHS player of Alpha. We used to do that shit more than anything. But we played Twisted Metal quite a bit, actually. And it seemed pretty much just like it, so I don't know. I would really want to support the game, because I feel like he's one of those developers that should be supported, because the game has all the features that you would want it to have, and it's pretty fun, but I'm not going to drop 60 when I'm about to drop like 400, 500, like, which is what we're about to talk about. With the Vita launch, like, I'm not going to need to play Twisted Metal if I have new Wipeout, you know? You're laughing and shit. Yeah, you know, come on, keep it real. And I already have a lot of other shit here, yeah, like, which we'll get into too. I just feel like I have a lot still that I could play from just, like, the fall release. You know, like, I feel like I'm still going through fall releases. Very much so. So, I feel like his timing is bad. He might, maybe I think he should have released that in the summer, you know? Like, when there's nothing coming out, I think it would have been better. Because right now, I'm still, like, on, like, game hangover, you know? So, yeah. But I think it's cool, though. I say check it out. Like, I didn't see any features to invite your friends into your online matches, but I could imagine a bunch of us playing that shit together, having a lot of fun. Like, just running over people and, like, blowing them up, you know? It's kind of one of those cool competitive games and stuff. So, I think it was cool. So, but you did get a chance to play The Darkness, though, right?
Yes. I was very surprised, actually, by that game. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of the first game.
Did you beat the first game?
I've not really been following. I think I got about 3/4 of the way through it, and then I got stuck, and I traded it in.
Oh, where'd you get stuck? Did you get stuck on that part where it's, like, really, like, you know, it's, like, red planet dream world? Where it's, like, all these Nazis, and it's red, and you're, like, on this train and shit?
I think I got past that bit.
Oh, okay.
But honestly, it was, like, what, 3 years ago or something, so I can't really remember. But I do remember Talon raving about that shit. So...
Yeah.
Honestly, I wasn't really checking for this second game. You know, I've not really been following it. Obviously, I knew it was on the horizon. But I thought, fuck it, I'll check out the demo. And that shit was... great. I really, really enjoyed it. You know, the art style was a lot more, it's got a lot more of a comic book feel to it as well.
Right.
And, the gunplay, coupled with, like, the actual attacks from the darkness as well, you know, ripping out the hearts and everything like that. Yeah, that shit was great. I really enjoyed it. So, I'm definitely looking forward to playing the full release of that. But then again, it comes out on Friday, and I just can't afford it at the moment with Vita coming out this month.
Yeah, man, it's nuts, right? Like, Vita, man. So, we'll talk about that in a minute, but yeah, I thought, okay... The Darkness Part 1 was a game that I saw at Target one day for $12. And in the clearance section, I was like, yo, it looks cool, right? You know, I was like, $12? Come on, like, how could I go wrong, right? And I looked, you know, I did my little Google search on my phone, and it got like 80 or 70 something in Metacritic or something. I don't remember. I was like, fuck it, you know? So I bought it, and I think I played through most of it at one point, and then I got stuck at this part, and I just put it down for like 6 months and came back to it and beat it. But it has a point, and it may be the point where you stop playing it where it gets really weird and, like, not fun. Like, it has the original game has really high points and it has really low points. Like, it's really inconsistent, you know? It's like it was unfinished. Yeah. Like, some parts I would walk around not knowing what to do, or that I had to, like, make my demon arm go through this little door to unlock a part, and I would get really stuck sometimes because it didn't really, it was like it was rushed. But at its core, it did a lot of things really good. Like, the storytelling was cool. I like the little, like, open worldness of it, and the art style was cool, and, like, it did a lot of cool stuff. The, like, loading screens were really fucking cool, where you would see him standing under this light, and it, you know, he would talk about, you know, whatever, the main character, and, like, it had a lot of cool stuff to it. So I eventually beat it, and it ends really good. Like, it has a part before the end, like, the 3/4 in, I think maybe where you stopped is, like, really, like, what? But then after that, it really gets really good towards the end, and then it ends pretty crazy. And part two, this new one, the art style is way different, right? It's like, the first game is more, it has more of a realistic look to it. And this new one has a more comic book. It has kind of like one of those like almost cel shaded, but not really, right? It has like a watercolory. It almost looks like Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4, right? Like kind of thick lines around the characters, you know, like it could be drawn or whatever. I don't even know what how to describe that kind of effect. But I know a lot of Wii games do that to mask the jaggies, you know? Like, I've noticed that. Like, there's some games that do that because it makes... It's just a better way to render that doesn't look very, I think even the new Zelda game has that similar art style. It's like almost like a watercolor type of, treatment or whatever. It kind of masks the jaggies a lot, but... I like it. I think it looks more like a comic book, which I guess it is, because I was in Borders. Borders is a store that recently... It's like Barnes & Noble's, but it's another bookstore that closed last year, right? They had like tons of them across the states. And they were closing down about 8 months ago, and you could go there, and they had like these big like 50% off of everything sales, and they had a... I think they had a book that had the Art of the Darkness. Like the... It was like the comic book. No, you know what it was? It was the Darkness comic book. Like one of those thick novels. Graphic novels that have like 20 comic books all put together and really glossy. You know those like collection books? Those like art... It's not even an art book. It's a graphic novel of the comics, you know? And they had it for Darkness, and I was just looking through it, and it kind of has, it's a lot of those, it's a pretty big comic series, like, it's been going on for a while, and there's a lot of, like, characters that we haven't heard of, and, like, history to the Darkness, you know, and people trying to get the power, and so, I guess that game taps into one of those storylines or whatever, so it's pretty cool, like, I thought it was dope, you know? I thought it was pretty lame, though, how the guy... all like the bad guys looked exactly the same. That always, like, pisses me off in games, like... right? Like, it's everybody has, an orange jumpsuit on, like... That shit... Ugh, I hate that. That's one of my pet peeves in games. Is, like, the cookie-cutter enemy thing.
Mm. Yeah, but, yeah, the demo was really surprising for me. I mean, the violence was top-notch, you know. Like I say, using the darkness to rip out the hearts and...
Crack people in half.
...the heart and everything. Yeah, it was sick, so... And, like, the controls felt good as well, you know, felt nice and tight, so... I'm looking forward to playing it, but... probably when it goes down in price now, when I can find it on sale.
Yo, yeah, when does that come out, though?
It comes out this week.
Oh, really? Oh, man, they're fucked. I'm not buying anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it comes out this week.
So we might as well just talk about the Vita, because that's the big elephant in the room, because we both are like... All our conversations so far have been, I'm not buying shit, because we got these expensive-ass pre-orders on hold and shit. So, what's your tally looking like? How much dough are you kicking out?
My total at the moment... my total is £445.
Shit, dude.
And it's like... The reason it's so high is I've been in this constant battle with myself about either getting the Wi-Fi-only version or the 3G version. You know? And it's like... I'm pretty much sold now on 3G, knowing that it's pretty much going to be a pay-as-you-go type thing, you know, so you're not locked into no contract, it's not going to be no direct debit as long as you turn off the auto-renewal feature that, from what I've heard, you can do, so you just top up as and when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've pre-ordered both anyway, and when I get paid on Friday, I've pre-order both the Wi-Fi and the 3G version. So when I get paid on Friday, I'm going to see how I feel, but I am leaning more towards 3G. Just so, like, if I am out and about in a car or on a bus,
you know,
I am able to use features like Near and that stuff.
And sync your trophies.
And sync the trophies up, you know.
Call it what it is, you just want to sync trophies.
Yeah, man. And, you know, just do all that shit. You know, I'd rather have a complete package. I mean, for the amount of money that I'm paying for it anyway, I might as well just get the complete package.
I guess. You know, I don't know. I don't see it that way. I see it like, for the amount I'm going to pay for a feature that's going to make me pay more for the, pay more in general. Like, I'm paying more to have to pay more to have the service. But for me, it's more so, not even that, it's just like, I thought about it and I was like, well, if I really want to get online, I could just tether my phone. I could just tether the Wi-Fi to my phone. You know? And just get online that way and have the same, you know, I could actually probably do more because 3G, you're not going to be able to actually play online play. But I'm thinking if I'm using my phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot, I might be able to connect to those services anyway. Because my Vita is not going to know that it's tethered through a phone. It's just going to know that it's a Wi-Fi spot. So my phone could create that Wi-Fi spot. So that might be interesting to see, you know. I don't know. I'm just thinking if I want to do that, I'll just use my phone as a hotspot. And because I'm cool off of getting a plan just to have Near, or I mean, if online play was capable at those speeds, I would totally do it. But if no online play, I have a phone to get on the internet. I don't know. That's just my theory. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, I might regret it. But
I mean, for people who like have iPhones and that kind of shit, so they already got 3G on the go anyway, then I don't see any point in it. But for those who don't, then I think it's okay, especially because it's not a contract. You know, you're not locked into that contract for any period of time. It's not going to be direct debit shit, so, you know, and you're not going to be able to, like, go over your limit, so they're charging you more and all that stuff, so. But, I mean, my package at the moment, the 3G, it comes up to £302, and in the 3G bundle, I get a copy of FIFA, and I get the pre-order pack as well, which has like the earphones, it has a couple of avatars, and it has the £5 discount off a PSN download. So with that, I'll be able to get like Super Stardust. But like game-wise, I've got like Uncharted pre-ordered, Wipeout pre-ordered, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom pre-ordered.
Oh, really?
See, because Well, my logic behind my pre-ordering of the games is I want to try and take as many genres as possible out for a spin. You know, so I've got the action adventure with Uncharted, I've got the racing games with Wipeout and the sport with FIFA, and the fighting game with Marvel. So, you know, I'm getting quite a wide spectrum of, you know, just to see exactly what it can do. And, you know, they're all good games anyway, so it's not like coming out with a game that you know is going to be whack as shit. So, I mean, on top of that, if I can afford it, obviously I want to possibly pick up Rayman as well and Ninja Gaiden, but I'm not too sure if I'm going to be able to afford it.
Yeah, I know.
Plus a memory card on top of that, so.
Shit's fucking nuts, dude. It's fucking nuts.
I mean, honestly, it's only kind of hit me the last few weeks just how much this shit is costing. And it really is quite ridiculous because you literally could buy a PlayStation 3 or a new TV or
Dude, you could buy a PlayStation 3 for the amount of the Vita itself.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
With games.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, so I mean, it really is expensive. So.
Yeah, for me, the memory card is like the hit because I'm getting the 32 gigabyte, and that shit is $100. So like,
yeah,
I've been thinking going back and forth like, should I just get a regular little memory card and just upgrade later? But I'm kind of the mindset of just get it once and just forget about it, like, you know? And then just say, fuck it, now I have more memory than I'll ever need, and I don't have to worry about it ever again. So I don't know. Yeah. But then again, it's like, hey, I could always buy a memory card later on, you know, so I don't get hit with all of these charges all at once, you know? So I don't know. There's so many ways you could do it, you know? Like, there's so many ways you could kind of, like, make your, like, menu of shit you're gonna buy. But at this time, I'm just getting the Wi-Fi, Vita, the memory card, and Wipeout. Like, I don't know if I'm getting Uncharted that day, that week. I'm probably gonna get, like, Super Stardust, because that's, like, $10 digital. But, yeah. It's already, you know, I've tried to be really cool about my budget in general for shit like this, so I don't know. I've been
working my ass off trying to pay for it.
I've been eyeballing a lot of shit laying around my house, like, I don't need these things, like, these games and stuff. You know, seriously, like, I have stuff on my shelf that I'm like, why do I even have this? I might just put some shit on eBay and pay for this whole shit, you know? Because I do have games here that's like, I don't even really even care anymore. Why do I even have them? Like, I got this Arcana Heart 3 limited edition collection. It's like $75. I could sell this for like probably like $80 online. I might just go ahead and do that, you know? That could pay for my memory card damn near. I might just do that. So I think I'm going to put some shit on eBay. And just to like lessen the blow, because I've just been really methodical about how much I spend on shit. Well, this weekend I kind of didn't follow that rule, but for the most part, I've been like cutting my expenses, dude. I canceled my Gamefly and all that shit, so right. I canceled my Netflix.
The only reason I'm really going all out with it, like right on launch, is because it comes out like 6 days before my birthday anyway. So
you should get people to buy games and stuff.
Yeah, well,
that would be easy.
The whole reason I've been like booking all these shifts at work is so we can pay for the system, and then, you know, the money coming in from my birthday is going to pay for the games and shit. But I thought, you know, I work my ass off to buy it, and then that's my own little treat to myself.
Right.
That's, you know, always, for my birthday and shit. So yeah. that's why I'm pretty much going all out with it.
Yeah, because if your birthday is 6 days after the launch, you might as well just like buy a game or two, or maybe a game, and then the next week get everybody to give you shit, you know? Get all the rest of them.
Yeah, so
you could do that. So
that's the reason, like I say, I'm going all out with it. You know, but the thing is, I am looking forward to it. I am really looking forward to having my system,
right,
and having Uncharted, you know, and being able to properly take it for a spin with all the different features, and, you know, loading up the PSN and all the trophies that you weren't really able to take advantage of at those Vita events that they were holding,
right,
you know. So, and like Netflix on it and everything.
I'm definitely not going to use Netflix on that. When would I use Netflix on it? Yeah,
I don't know.
I'd use it on my iPad, but not on that. But not even on my iPad. Like, where would I be that I would like use Netflix on an iPad or a Vita? I can't think of anywhere. Maybe at a hotel room somewhere, but like, that's pretty lonely. Like, I'm in my hotel room by myself, me and my Vita, watching a movie. Oh no, I'm a little salty because I'll be in New York next weekend, and the Vita comes out right after that, you know, that's kind of bunk. And then right after the Vita comes out, I'll be in South by Southwest, and that's a big festival, music art festival, interactive festival in the state, so that'll be fun. I'll have it to take on that trip, so I'll really get to give it the like battery test and like the plane test and all that shit.
So, like, have you pre-ordered the first edition that you get a week earlier? Is that what you're getting?
Nah, I pre-ordered the regular shit. I mean, the first edition bundle, when would I get it? It still comes out after my New York trip, so I didn't really care, you know? Because that comes out when? The 14th or something, right? Or the 17th.
Yeah. I mean, so like, because we obviously don't get the first edition over here, so it comes out on the 22nd end of. So, in that first edition, do you only get the little Deviants game, or, you know, do you pre-order whatever games you want and get them all a week earlier? So, I was actually working over in the States.
Oh, man. If I'm not mistaken, the games come out when the first edition bundle comes out, right? They come out the 15th. Let me look on Amazon. Hold on, let's see. The games come out when all of the games come out a week early.
Right.
So that, I guess, first edition bundles, people, you know, can get it. Because I'm looking right now, let's see. Uncharted Golden Abyss, which they're selling for $50, which I'm like, what the fuck? Comes out February 15th. So I'm assuming that that's the day the first edition bundle comes out. So let me check that. Here it is.
Yeah.
First edition bundle, they have releasing the 15th. Yeah. Yep. That comes out the 15th, which is next Wednesday. But I get back from New York on the day before that, so that does me no good, because I won't even have it for that trip, so why even bother, you know?
So Sony are really trying to push this system in the US market, aren't they? I mean, they're really trying to get those sales. You know,
I think so.
I
think they have an opportunity, because I think the 3DS wasn't as hot as Nintendo thought it would be. Lot of people I know and kids I've been seeing, like, they still have the regular 3DS. So, like, I think, I don't know. Then again, it's also different markets. Like, I don't think a 3DS owner, I don't think a DS owner is going to get a Vita, you know?
Yeah.
I mean... You know what I'm saying. I think there's some younger, the younger skew is not going to get a Vita because it's too expensive. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems funny to me how they are trying to push it in the different territories. I mean, over in the States, they've pretty much announced everything now, haven't they? I mean, they've got the first edition bundle, so the people who pre-order can get that shit a week early. With all the games and shit. They've announced the 3G plans and how much data you're going to get for X amount of money. The UK doesn't have none of that shit. You know, we don't get it a week early. You know, our 3G data hasn't even been announced yet. So even though I've got the 3G bundle pre-ordered, I don't know how much it's going to cost me for the data.
Really?
What? Yeah, and it's like, what, 17 days until the release, and we don't know how much we're paying for 3G. It's like, Sony, what's going on? I mean, all we know at this point is their preferred carrier is going to be Vodafone, and with every 3G sold, there's going to be a Vodafone SIM card in it. But, you know, we don't know how much it's going to cost, if there's going to be any data thrown onto that card for the start. You know, we don't know nothing like that. So it's like, you know, they're really trying to catch hold of the US market, but what about Europe at the end of the day?
Fuck Europe.
You know? Well, that's what it seems to be, a fuck Europe, because, you know, we want that shit too. You know, or at least I want it. You know? So.
Damn, homie. I'm going to find it
interesting to see how the sales for Europe are really going to work out, because apart from, you know, the Vita events that they've put on, and like in the States, where they put like a system inside every GameStop or Best Buy, they've done it for two of the stores here. But as far as other marketing goes, there really hasn't been anything. I mean, there's been no commercials on TV about it, no nothing like that. So, you know, I'm not really even sure how many people in the UK are even that aware of it. I know and of the games that are coming out. So, I mean, you really have to go and fish for the information, you know, in order to actually know anything about it, because it's not right there in your face. So,
yeah, that's
it will be interesting to see.
Yeah, it will be. I just know that it's costing a grip.
I know that shit too. But like, what makes it even worse as well is only a couple of weeks later, Street Fighter X Tekken comes out as well.
Yeah,
and
right.
I wanted to get the limited edition for that with that little mini arcade safe thing, the little money bank.
Nah, what's that?
So, must have seen it. The limited edition is coming out in the States.
Mm-mm.
You get... Oh, shit. I'll send you a picture of it. I'll find that shit for
you. It's a safe? What is it?
It's like a little, you know, a piggy bank thing. You put your coins in, but it's in the shape of an arcade cabinet.
Really?
Shit looks... yeah. I mean, it was announced for the States first, and I didn't think that they'd bring it over to the UK, but they are.
Nobody posted it on the site.
I'm sure I did. I'm positive I did.
I didn't see it.
I'll send you a link to that shit. Hold on.
Okay, it comes with special edition artwork, build-it-yourself arcade bank. I'm on the website. So it's an easy to assemble kit with decals that represents old school arcade cabinets. Store your quarters and more for your next challenger. Not playable. Duh. Oh, it's a little it's a little arcade machine. It's funny how they think of this shit to kind of get you to buy it. Because that shit totally has piqued my interest. Fucking...
Also comes with a mini strategy guide, 45 gem power ups.
Those mini strategy guides fucking suck. They will not get me with that bullshit again. Like the little mini strategy guide that came with what is it, Super Street Fighter 4, one of those damn games. Some bullshit. It's like a 4-3 page leaflet. People are complaining.
I'll probably pick up the official strategy guide if there's one, but I mean, for £60, I definitely want to pick that one up.
So it's only $4 more.
Well, no, it's about £20 more than the standard.
Wow. Oh no.
But you know, coming out.
I don't need a piggy
2 weeks
bank.
After Vita, it's like.
I don't think I'm gonna be getting a piggy bank, homie. Fuck that. They could kiss my ass. I'll buy that shit when it's on sale.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna be the first one, I got both versions.
You know, the week before, everyone's gonna start getting hype.
And they're gonna start posting YouTube unboxing videos. Bitches, man. Fucking.
Talon will be on his hunt for that early copper and shit. Like he's been doing with past Street Fighters. But you know, I was actually kind of thinking about that the other day. It's like we don't really seem to be that hyped for this game. It's like, you know, Street Fighter in general, we don't.
Nobody's hyped about it.
None of us seem to really talk about it, and I kind of get the feeling that Capcom may have killed it off a bit with how many, you know, versions of Street Fighter 4 and then Marvel.
Yeah, you know, yeah, because this like it's there's something that makes you not feel good about it, right? Like. I think Arcade Edition was cool, but not really. Like, I really wanted them to include more than what they did, right? Like, I kind of felt like the characters they added wasn't all that I really wanted. I kind of wanted them to add stages and, like, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted stages more than I wanted, like, Evil Ryu and Oni Akuma. Like, I felt like there's a disconnect in what people want and what they gave us, you know? So like it really wasn't, I don't know, it didn't really make me excited about it. Like it kind of felt like, okay, like, yeah, okay, we're gonna eat like you know, tuna fish sandwiches, but I don't really want tuna fish sandwiches. But all right, I'll eat it, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, tuna's okay. But I would have preferred, like, lasagna, you know? I don't know. It's kind of like, yeah, it's okay. It's not bad, you know? But I really wanted them to, like, come with, like, a bunch of new stages or something like that. Something cool, but I don't know. Yeah, they kind of left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths with the non-lobby thing and all that. I don't know.
And then releasing Ultimate Marvel, like, 6 months down the line.
Well, you know what? And then between that, then they released, you know, the Third Strike online edition that didn't perform well online. Like, you know, it's kind of like, what? Like, okay, I was hyped for that, and then we tried to play it, and it was like, oh, God, you know?
GGPO sucks on this shit.
Yeah, that shit did not come across well. So I don't know, like, Capcom kind of fell really hard really fast in terms of just, like, perception of people and, like, you know, expectations. Like, yeah. I felt like the beginning of this, like, 3-4 years ago, they were dropping a lot of stuff people were caring about, and now it's like, what? What do they have coming out that you actually care about? Maybe Resident Evil.
Yeah.
6, but then the last one was kind of crappy, right? Like, so... you know, like, the last one was crappy.
Yeah.
And then now they have the Raccoon City, and I'm hearing bad things about that, too. Even though I played it and was good, but I'm hearing, like... I don't know. It can go either way with them, you know? That's why I think people don't really get too hyped. Because you never really know until it comes out, you know, how good it's going to
be.
Yeah,
and it's like... Even Shooter said, you know, he might, like, not pick the game up and just wait until they do announce the inevitable Ultimate Edition of the game.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's shit like that that, you know, really stays in people's minds. And it's like, well, should I drop the money for it now just for them to announce an updated version a few months down the line? I mean, obviously Capcom are known for that with Street Fighters, like, throughout the years, but...
I think they announced... I think Ono, the producer of this game, announced that they won't be that again. Like, it's only going to be DLC. I'm pretty sure I read that there's a quote that you could find online in the interview that he said. There's not going to be no arcade edition of this one. It's going to be just DLC.
I know, but
that's just what he
says.
Those
kind of quotes, you do have to take with a pinch of salt, because obviously he wants people to run out and buy this game. And then it's, oh, well, we're going to have to re-release a game out into retail because there were certain things we just couldn't include on DLC and all this shit. You know, I mean, so I think a lot of people are going to be wary about the fact. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are just going to go out and buy it anyway day one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, it still is there in the public mind that, well, hold on. I might as well just wait it out until the inevitable does happen.
Right. And rightfully so. They have every... I think folks have every right to feel that way, because that's kind of how I feel, too. It's like, you know... And that's how I felt about Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and it did exactly that. Like, once I heard there was no lobbies, I was like, oh, they're going to drop the lobby patch. The lobby... No, they're going to drop the next version with the lobbies, and they did exactly that. Like, so... Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point it's kind of just, you know, waiting till the final product is in people's hands, and then people are gonna start noticing shit that's missing, and then get on the forums and, you know, speaking their opinion, and then it's gonna happen. You know, they'll come out with the bullshit excuse like, oh, we didn't have time to fit it in, and blah blah blah, and then a few months later. It's going to be, oh, well, guess what? We've got this new edition coming out with some more characters and costumes and shit, you know? But I just think with Capcom, you know, they need to chill out a bit and just... You know, no sooner have they pretty much resurrected, like, the fighting game scene and shit with Street Fighter 4. You don't want to be killing that shit off too quickly, you know? I mean, because that shit's huge at the moment. with everything, so we'll just see how it goes. I mean, I am excited to play it because, you know, it is. It looks fresh. It looks fun. You know.
They haven't really said if it has lobbies, though. They haven't said
well,
if it has lobbies
at all.
There you go.
I've not heard that shit either.
Yeah, they haven't said
anything about lobbies or spectator mode.
If they don't have spectator mode, I'm definitely not fucking with it. They could kiss my ass because you already know what
and
that
I mean,
means.
And like they announced this week that the game's gone gold, and so that shit's finished. You know, it's about to get pressed up for distribution. So, you know, these are the kind of things that you, I could say, you think about. And it's like, well, is that what we're all going to find out when the game drops onto our mats on day one? How much shit is actually missing?
Right. So, because I'm looking at the website for it now, and they have this whole big section on gems, which is like some shit that, you know, basically, they have these gems that you can kind of like boost certain characteristics of your character. And there's a lot of people like upset about that in the fighting game community, because basically it's like it kind of takes away from the straight up competition, because it's like it adds all of these other random variables. And then you know how that goes. Like things like that leave so much room for there to be imbalances in the game, because you could have a character that gets a specific gem and then they're like fucking way overpowered, yeah. You know? Because typically it's hard enough to have balance in just regular character movesets, and then you add gems on top of that, it's like, oh god, it's gonna be a fuck. That's why people are thinking it's gonna be one of those like games that you can't take seriously in a fighting in the fighting game scene, because it's like it's not gonna be well balanced. But so we'll see. Like I don't see anything here about
but then again,
lobbies.
They haven't announced that they are dropping the tournament DLC.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Tournament DLC for Super Street Fighter 4 didn't mean lobbies.
Yeah, well, from what I read, it's to pretty much put people's minds at rest about, you know, going into proper tournaments about the shit. To use that feature, I don't know, that's just what I heard. But
it says, it says you can have, they have something called a briefing room, so you can train with or against another player online. Invite a partner and set up a player 1 versus player 2 sparring session. So basically it's a player 1 and 2 can fight against a computer in a training session, and you could still have fight requests. Two on two battles, it doesn't say if it's online or not. Fight request, it says nothing about online battling, like spectator modes, nothing. So you know what that means. If they don't say it, it don't exist, man. That's my theory. Why would they not say it if it's a marketing point, right? Like, so I'm a shooter on this shit. I'm gonna wait it out. So yeah. So anyway, let's spotlight Resident Evil Revelations. We didn't talk about that last week, right? Because last time we had a podcast, it wasn't even out yet. Am I right?
We spoke about the demo.
Okay, so let's talk about the game a little bit, because I feel like, you know, whatever.
Tiger! Tiger! Uppercut!
Game Spotlight!
I kind of just wanted to hear that type of uppercut little thing.
Since we've been talking about Street Fighter.
You know, I want to play some. I feel like playing Street Fighter right now. It's funny how, like, shit like that'll make you want to play it.
But yeah, Resident Evil Revelations and Nubageddon.
Nubageddon.
I've been using that circle.
So what's the deal? Is it worth it? Was it worth it? Did you feel like a tool playing with the little like Frankenstick.
Yo, seriously, no. It really works. I mean, even though it looks silly, and it's like pretty beefy and everything, you know, it feels actually really good to actually use it. With obviously Revelations is the only game I've been able to test it out on, but it feels really good having the two analog sticks and everything. I mean, it took a bit to actually get used to it. You know the feel of it and everything, and just for where it's placed, because it's placed like right next to the face buttons instead mm-hmm. of actually maybe being a tiny bit like downwards,
mm-hmm.
You know, below. So like sometimes when I'm reaching over for the A button, you know, or I kind of miss it a bit and I'm pressing something else, and that. But now I've actually got used to it. It feels a lot better, and I think, you know, for forthcoming games that are going to be using it, you know, like Metal Gear Solid and Kid Icarus and those kind of games where you really do need a second analog stick, it's really going to make them a lot more immersive and to bring a bit more of a console feel to it. But Revelations itself, you know, yeah, so Revelations.
You got distracted.
I'm really like impressed with it. I'm really enjoying it. From like the small amount of time I've been able to play with it, because I've been like so busy working and that. And it's gorgeous game. It's pretty incredible how great it looks on the 3DS. You know, and the 3D is fantastic as well. And the gameplay of it, see, my problem with the gameplay, or you could call it a problem, you could not, but using like the circle pad, it allows you to actually move whilst shooting in the game
mm-hmm.
as well. So because of that, it kind of makes it a bit more easier. Now, you probably could just say, well, don't move while shooting, but because you're so tuned into that way of playing a game now, you know, from the console games, like whatever shooter you're playing, you know, it's hard not to move while shooting, you know. So I think if people want a strict Resident Evil experience, then possibly don't use a circle pad, and then you won't, then it's just, you know, stand still, shoot.
So you think it makes it easier? So you're saying it makes it easier?
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. A lot easier, because obviously as a zombie or whatever's advancing towards you, you're able to move back while still
aiming
off your rounds.
Right.
Where if you was, yeah. So whereas if you weren't using the circle pad, you literally stood still. You'd have to take your finger off the fire button, turn around, run away, find another point to stand in. You know,
right.
So it does make it easier in that sense. But then again, It feels great, because it feels more action shootery. It feels more like an action shooter that I think a lot of people will actually enjoy. But it still retains a lot of that survival horror element that they had from Resident Evil 4. Because the game is, you play up to now as three characters, so you play as Jill. Jill Valentine, as her and her partner, they board this cruise liner out in the Mediterranean Sea, because they're out looking for Chris Redfield.
Mm-hmm.
So those parts of the games are very much the survival horror. You know, you're walking through the corridors, everything's quiet, you may hear movement from somewhere, you know, things jump out at you. There's a lot of exploration, a lot of puzzle solving, and that kind of stuff. But then, when you move on to the different areas of the gameplay where you're controlling Chris in another section of, like, the game world, not on the cruise liner, you know, it is a lot more action orientated. It's a lot more fast paced, and the same as when you control Jill's partner, who's called Parker, in another section of the game before they actually land on the cruise liner, again, it's a lot more, it feels kind of like mercenaries, where you're kind of defending yourself against waves of like zombie dogs and all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. So they have got like the three styles set up. But obviously, for me, the most enjoyable is playing as Jill on the cruise liner.
Right.
And I think, you know, up to this point, I think Capcom have done a really good job of it. Like I say, the game looks phenomenal. It really is creepy as well on the cruise liner and everything. 3D's great. I'd definitely say check it out. And at this point, I couldn't recommend the circle pad for this game in particular, but I think for upcoming games, I think it's going to prove really useful. Or you could just wait until the inevitable re-release of the 3DS with it already attached.
Right, exactly, which is probably what I would do. Hopefully, they'll drop a Vita version of it maybe at some point, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky.
You know, I was kind of thinking that same thing. I think, you know, on the Vita with like the graphics just up-resed a bit, you know, on that screen, I think it'd be great, and I think it'd probably sell quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I definitely say check it out. If you're a fan of Resident Evil and you've been on the fence about it, I say definitely check it out, because I think you'd be actually surprised by it.
Okay, sounds cool. So let's
I'll just say, even at this point, it's a shit ton better than Resident Evil 5. So there you go.
Let's just take a quick break and then we'll be back. And we're back. That sounds like some Wipeout shit, doesn't it? All Seeing Red. It's called All Seeing Red by Bay Science. That's like some Wipeout shit. For sure. Oh well. So let's get into what we've been playing. I guess that's like what we have.
Games we played this week.
Yeah, so I'll go first. Oh man, I started getting hooked to Battlefield 3, actually. It started about a week ago. And I don't know, man, like, something just said, hey, let me just play this console version of the game. And I started playing, like, Team Deathmatch, and I really like it. It's fun. I've been having a lot of fun playing Team Deathmatch. For some reason, I really think that, like, the rush mode in Battlefield 3 is not as fun as the rush mode in Battlefield 2. And I don't know if that's been your experience, but I haven't given it enough of a shot, or I haven't really, I don't know, but I've been having a lot of fun with Team Deathmatch in Battlefield 3. And it's fun. I've been like, I think yesterday I had like a six person kill streak, which is like my record right now. So I'm like having fun with it. I think they're gonna announce DLC this week coming, so for Battlefield 3. So it should be interesting to see what that is, and it might be a resurgence of people playing it. I've been playing that. I've been playing Rayman Origins. I played that today. This shit is great. There's so many stages in that game. So yeah, I always have fun with that. Catherine, I was playing that yesterday, and actually this morning. And just like playing, they have the I forget what it's called, but Babel or whatever, that mode where you can kind of play some like different stages and like has leaderboards and stuff, and you can see how far you can make it. And so I've been playing that, and that's been really fun, like just as a puzzle game. Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, I've been playing. I started a game of Metal Gear Solid 3 and played about an hour of it. Wipeout HD, I've been playing that. Been playing, oh, I got Child of Eden with 3D and the Move. And Child of Eden, yeah, it's a great game, like, but it's like one of those games where like I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to somebody who doesn't have a 3D TV, because I feel like it's great in 3D with the Move, but 3D does a lot for that game. The depth and the immersion, it's kind of like Rez. It's just like Rez, but like you basically are playing, like, apparently there's like, I don't even know how to explain the plot of the game. Basically there's this girl named something, and she represents the internet, and basically the game world is the internet, and she's trying to get through, she's a digital database that's trying to get through the internet, and all of the shapes and crazy things you see are parts of the digital history of the internet. And there's some weird esoteric backstory to the game, but it's a lot of like shapes and organic looking, you know, things that fly out at you, and you gotta shoot it, and you, it's basically like a shooter, you know. It's like a space polygonal shooter, but some of the objects are organic looking, and some of them are really like techy looking, and it's really like, you know, it's kind of like Rez, but more organic sometimes too. Sometimes it looks like you're in water, and it's bugged out. I think if you have a 3D TV and you have the Move, you need to buy it, because it's so cheap, and it's like, it's one of those experience games, like Flower, you know, like, it's a nice change. So I got it for like $7, so from GameFly before I cancel that shit. So I've been playing that. I did play some Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Ultimate Edition, or Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And I need to send that back to GameFly actually, but because like they had already shipped it when I canceled my order, my subscription. So I got that yesterday and I was playing it, and it's a fun game, and online was working well, but it, that game can be either really great or really pissy, like frustrating. Like I was playing matches with people that were like similar, we were in a similar rank, and it was fun. Like they would get their little combos in, I would get my little combos in, and then once you play someone that's like way better than you, it's just mad frustrating, because like this dude did like an 80 hit combo on me or a 100 hit combo on me, and I'm like, I can't even move, you know. So it's like, oh, I hate this game, you know. That game, yeah, it can be really frustrating, but it's also, I just like the whole like comic book, you know, like it's nostalgic to me from when I used to be into that type of shit more hard, or like really when I was into it. So I don't, it's hard for me to shit on it, but I think that like you're either gonna love it or be indifferent to it, because of, you have, it takes dedication to like, it's like Wipeout, I guess, maybe even. Because, like, if you just play it just to fuck with it, it won't be as appealing, because you really need to know what you really need to know what to do to get fun out of it. And if you don't, then it's like, it's not fun. So, I don't know. I don't know about that game. I would like to buy it, but I don't really feel like I'm gonna put time into it, you know, to justify the cost, so I'm not gonna buy it. but I don't hate on people that like it. What else have I been playing? Battlefield, Child of Eden. I think that's about it, really. Those demos. That's pretty much all I've been playing the last week. Oh, I beat... what's the name of that game? Saints Row the Third. And, it's been, you know, it was fun. I had a lot of fun with that game. I think it's a good open world game. I had way more fun with that than I did with Grand Theft Auto 4, by far. It's worth the money. And that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Okay, so, my games this week, obviously, a lot of FIFA, when I've had time. Resident Evil, as we've already discussed. And Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, finally, after all these months of waiting. And, you know, it's Metal Gear. I love Metal Gear. I'm playing through Part 2 at the moment. The HD update for Part 2, at least, not really much to it. You know, it obviously, it looks better than the PS2 version, but, you know, it doesn't look amazing. But, you know, the gameplay still holds up, and, you know, slow-paced games, like stealthy games like that, I'm not the biggest fan of, but I can always make an exception for Metal Gear, just because, I don't know, there's just something about it that I can always really get into with it. Whereas games like Hitman and Splinter Cell, I couldn't really get into that much. But yeah, I'm really enjoying getting back into it again. I'm looking forward to playing Peace Walker, because I've never played that game at all.
It's great.
So, and obviously I want to jump on the online of that, because your recommendation.
Yeah, because some parts of it is really hard, man. Like, some of the boss battles are easy with another person, you know? And some of them, you could beat all of them, but there was like one or two of them where, having somebody play it with you is really makes the difference. You know, it does.
Yeah, so I'm really enjoying that at the moment. Obviously, I'm pissed off that I couldn't get the Ultimate Collection after they changed that shit. But never mind, I've got the game, that's all that matters. What else have I been playing? I think that's actually about it, because I've been working my ass off to pay for this Vita. So I've not had that much time to play anything else.
Right. So, yes.
Well, apart from obviously trying the Twisted Metal demo, and I played a bit of Gotham City Imposters before the start of this podcast.
How did it look?
It looked okay. It didn't look amazing. But I think that would be. The game would be a lot more fun if a bunch of us were in the lobby playing it together.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, people you know, people properly, you know, people who were talking, having a laugh. But yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll be able to get this review code through. It drops sometime this week, the game does. So we'll just see. We'll just see if I'm able to get that through and I can give some better impressions of it. So I think that's it.
Word up. So that's the show for today, folks. Check us out on iTunes. Type in Game Yanks Podcast. Of course, we're on BrooklynKing.com. And drop us a line, let us know what's up. Comment in the show notes, send us an email via the site. We have a contact form if you have any notes. And we're out. I'm getting tongue-tied and shit. And we are out. Peace.
Peace.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.